And once again, we're here to agree to disagree, the almost weekly podcast of the Salt Lake Tribune editorial board. I'm George Pyle, the editorial page editor.
I'm Michelle Quist, editorial writer.
And today, like everybody else in the political universe, we're going to talk about the state that the Republican Party finds itself in nationally and in Utah. Nationally, the big story in the news or among the late night talk show hosts, which is where most people get their news anymore,
right.
Except of course for this podcast,
for us.
Is the special election to fill the open Senate seat, U.S. Senate seat in Alabama. Roy Moore is the Republican nominee,
right.
Having beaten the short-term incumbent Luther Strange in the primary. Steve Bannon supported Moore. Donald Trump supported Strange. Mm-hmm. Now Donald Trump is supporting Moore.
Just two horrible candidates overall.
Indeed. And so the rest of the Republican Party, I mean, you can almost have a little respect for them, the spot they're in,
right.
Is that the Senate is so closely divided, with a couple of Republican senators hard to convince on things like repeal and replace of Obamacare, mm-hmm. This huge
tax cut
bill. So the Republicans don't have a vote to spare. And so their concern is that, tax reform may be done by the time this election is settled, or it may not be, or there will be other issues on which they're just very narrowly divided.
Right.
So the Republicans are looking at supporting Judge Moore, who they didn't seem to have too much trouble with him when he said that women shouldn't hold office. They didn't seem to have too much trouble with him when he said Muslims shouldn't hold office. But then when
when he refused to apply the law set forth by the Supreme Court and still allowed a state restriction on gay marriage.
Right. And he insisted on keeping this huge Charlton Heston
Ten Commandments
yes. in the courthouse.
Which, right. This is his history.
Right. And he was removed, I guess, as Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court twice.
And then resigned.
And then finally left.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, do they elect? I should know this. They must elect the judges there, because otherwise there's no governor would have appointed him back after that. So he got. So he's popular. He's politically popular
in Alabama.
In Alabama. So we've had over the last few days, the Republican Party, the Republican National Committee, back away.
Yes.
Then come back.
Right.
After Trump
decided
came
back, to support. Yeah.
Because
support
he had endorsed Strange. Now he's coming back. Luther Strange.
Mm-hmm.
That's a person's name. Then he had to come back. And our own dear Orrin Hatch, Senator Orrin Hatch, is the poor guy. I mean,
I have no empathy.
Okay, good. I'll follow your lead on that. Because, I mean, I do try and have a little sympathy for people who are in high public office and are faced with difficult choices. Because I do think that sometimes we don't give enough credit to the fact that some of these choices are hard to make.
Right, especially in a bigger picture.
Right.
Where you're thinking of legislation that you want to pass, you know, and you need this spot in the Senate. You need this seat. But still, there are lines.
Yeah. And on one side of that line, we have Orrin Hatch, although this morning he was waffling again.
Yeah.
On the other side of that line, we have Mitt Romney,
mm-hmm.
who, similar to his diatribe against Donald Trump mm-hmm. way before the last election,
mm-hmm.
Has come out pretty strongly, mostly, I think, on Twitter, which is the only place that people communicate anymore.
Right.
Also opposing Roy Moore and saying something.
Did we say why? Did we say Roy Moore's latest?
Oh, yeah. No, I guess we didn't even say that. I guess I assume everybody just knows this.
Yeah.
He has been credibly accused in some very exhaustively reported Washington Post stories of having a history, not really recent history, but a significant history when he was like in his 30s of literally trolling the malls for teenage girls.
Yeah.
And
that's called pedophilia.
And coming, you know, and you know, molesting 14-year-old girls who
uh-huh.
kept it to themselves, like so many,
because they're scared.
Women do, unfortunately.
Right.
Who kept it to themselves for a very long time, but there are rumors of these things.
Right.
And so the Washington Post and I hate it when this happens, and I love it when this happens. It's too bad the local media didn't do that.
Yeah.
And now they've jumped on it, and now they've had, you know, they've had front page editorials saying Roy Moore is not what we want Alabama to be. But sometimes it takes the parachute in press to do these things.
Uh-huh.
And so he's denied all of this.
Yeah.
Other people who want to keep the Republican edge in the Senate have kind of gone back and forth saying, I believe him, I don't believe him. Mitch McConnell, I think, to his credit, has said, I believe them.
Yeah.
And
he said,
But then asked on one of the Sunday morning shows the other day, is Roy Moore fit to be a U.S. Senator? He said, well, I'll let the people of Alabama decide that.
Right, right. So he kind of stepped away from it. And this is what Hatch said. Hatch said, it happened so long ago. Mm-hmm. You know, it happened so long ago, it's not a present problem. That's completely not okay.
No.
I mean, it really isn't. The party line has been, he hasn't been tried in court yet. Let's wait until there's, you know, until innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
And of course, any criminal defendant is innocent until they're proven guilty. But we're not talking about a court of law here. We're not talking about not allowing him an attorney or not, you know, having the jury assume that he's innocent, not guilty. Mm-hmm. We're talking about credible multiple statements that Roy Moore has done this and what we want. Who we want to represent us, you know, and so Hatch went back and forth on it, but Romney came out and said, no, this isn't okay. This would be a stain on our nation.
Right. And again, the innocent until proven guilty, Mitt exactly faced that.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, yeah, in a court of law, innocent until proven guilty. In the court of public opinion, when someone wants a seat in the U.S. Senate, we don't have proof beyond reasonable doubt. We haven't put it before a jury and had them sit still for 3 weeks and listen to all the testimony and take the measure of the people, which is what you do if you're actually going to deprive somebody of their liberty, if you're going to put them in prison.
Yeah.
You have that very high standard.
Yeah.
But, I mean, your liberty, your life belongs to you, and there has to be a very high standard of it being taken away. A seat in the U.S. Senate does not belong to you.
Out of all the candidates that there could be, we don't need to be talking about this for a candidate if there are 20 other candidates that could be there. You know what I mean?
Right. And they had one. They had Luther Strange, who was apparently acceptable to the party and the governor of Alabama.
Right. Well,
but Steve Bannon wanted him pushed aside, so they did that. And now we have... So now we have Mitt Romney and Orrin Hatch on more or less opposite sides of this. I say more or less because Hatch waffles.
He tried to come back and say, Mitt's a good friend, and I agree with Mitt, and Moore shouldn't do bad things.
Right.
Well, thank you. Now I've said both.
So that's on the national scale, and of course it has special resonance in Utah because the Romney-Hatch dichotomy is, of course, big news around here.
Right, right. Because of the election.
Because the election, because Orrin Hatch, after saying pretty firmly last time around that this would be his last term, is now making noises about running again. When the president was here this week, he was saying, oh, my good friend Orrin, I hope he runs again.
Right.
Well, of course, he hates Orrin. He hates Mitt Romney. So
Trump does,
Trump does, so he might say that. So now we have people saying to Mitt, like through the media, and I'm sure face-to-face, in person, on secure email channels. Mitt, please run.
Do this. Right. Do this. We need you because, you know, it's time. It's already December. You know, you can't have somebody that people don't recognize their name or they haven't, you know, they're not currently a representative or something like that get into this kind of a race now because it's just, it's too late. You need money. You need processes. You need volunteers. You need, you know, signatures. And I mean, it's just really hard to get into a U.S. Senate campaign in December. And who could do that, though? Mitt could do that.
Mitt could do that and
beat Orrin Hatch. Maybe Mia Love could do it because she's already a representative or Chris Stewart.
Right. They have some name recognition. They have some organization.
Yeah. Because I don't agree with Hatch's people that he's going to, if he runs, he wins. I don't think he will.
No.
But he needs a challenger.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, there was some polling that indicated that the leading Democrat in this race, Jenny Wilson, and a member of the Salt Lake County Council, could beat Orrin Hatch.
Right.
Which kind of stunned some of us.
That's how bad Hatch is doing.
So obviously, that's how bad Hatch is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that a relative unknown, known somewhat in Salt Lake County among politically active people,
mm-hmm.
would
a Democrat
in Utah, and people
would be polling
would say,
better than Senator Hatch.
And it's really almost. I mean, no disrespect to Jenny, but it's almost like the would you vote for Orrin Hatch or somebody else?
Yeah.
Anybody else.
Yeah.
And in this case, Jenny Wilson is the anybody else.
Right, right.
And enough people are saying, yeah, anybody
right.
else.
Right. So the Utah United Party comes along and says, well, Mitt Romney should run under our banner.
Right.
I found that very interesting.
Yeah, I think, well, the point is, and this op-ed from Richard Davis, the political science professor at BYU and the chairman of the, is it Utah United or United Utah?
Yeah.
United Utah Party.
Yeah. UUP.
Has written a commentary for us that will be in the Friday edition of the Salt Lake Tribune and online, sltrib.com/opinion, saying, Mitt, as Ronald Reagan used to say about the Democrats, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me.
Mm-hmm.
So now Richard Davis is saying to Mitt Romney, Mitt, you don't leave the Republican Party. The Republican Party left you.
Mm-hmm.
His example being what Orrin Hatch is saying about Roy Moore, what Steve Bannon is saying about Mormons in general and Mitt in particular,
right.
The embarrassment that Donald Trump has been to many lifelong good Republicans,
right.
saying, Mitt, you don't belong in the Republican Party anymore. And that's because that's the Republicans' fault, not yours.
Mm-hmm. I don't see Romney agreeing with this. And we've talked about this before. Yes, the Republican Party has kind of, you know, we're going down at this point. You know, we're not. There's a lot that we could be doing better. But Mitt Romney's the consummate statesman. You know, you're either a Republican or you're a Democrat. And he has shown that he believes in the party despite its standard bearer right now.
Right.
I think he really does. And I think his efforts at the beginning of the administration to go and meet with President Trump and, you know, to talk about the possible cabinet appointment, you know, to kiss the ring, basically, right?
Right.
I think he did that because he knew that sometimes it's better for the organization to, you know, well, if they can have me a little bit, it would help. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, I hate Trump, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't want to be part of his administration. But if I can do good for the nation, then I'm going to do it. I just see that being more of what Romney stands for. I don't think he would jump
well,
on the UUP's request.
I mean, I think it would be unlikely, but I do think if he did, if he just said, look, as in the Reaganist way of saying it,
yeah.
I'm not leaving the party. The party has left me.
Right.
Where am I going to go? Well, I'm not going to be a Democrat. Especially, I'm not going to be a Democrat in Utah. But I'm not going to be a Democrat. Oh, here's another party that represents itself as the third way, moderate, pragmatic, practical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've given them a hard time for not standing for anything, but they do have some positions, term limits, campaign contribution limits, mm-hmm. things like that, to open up the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he did choose to do this, just to shake things up, just to express his utter disgust with the current status of the Republican Party,
right.
I think he could win. If it was Hatch as the Republican nominee, Wilson as the Democratic nominee, and Romney as the UUP nominee,
mm-hmm.
and there wasn't any question about them getting on the ballot in every county. That would be, I mean, for, you know, I get mad sometimes when journalists reduce it all to a horse race and pretend like it's a game.
Right.
That's just, you just care who wins because you're interested in who wins, not the policy result
yeah.
of it. But, I, you know, Who would win that three-way race?
No, I think he would win. I think Romney would win between Hatch and Wilson. I just don't think he would you know, jump on board with the UUP. Yeah. I think he would try to outseat Hatch.
Yeah.
At least that's what I hope he would.
Well, I would think so. I would think that he knows that he, I would think he knows, and the conventional wisdom, of course, you know, a year ago there was no, or 18 months ago there was no way Donald Trump was going to be president either.
Right,
so,
right.
But I think the conventional wisdom is that in the, whether he went the signature route or whether he went the caucus convention route, or he would probably do both, mm-hmm. that he would at least get on the primary ballot, and he would probably beat Hatch in a Republican primary and then go on to be elected. It really would be a national earthquake, though,
yeah.
if he decided to go this third party
route. I
think so. That there would be, it would be a huge statement across the whole country mm-hmm. that the Republican Party is really diseased right now, mm-hmm. and people want to leave. And the question is, I think, even on a beyond just the horse race thing, you know, would that be good for the country? Would it be good for the country to just give up on the Republican Party, and at least for a while it maybe goes and has its time in the wilderness and mm-hmm. comes back? Mm-hmm. Or would it be better for the country to save the Republican mm-hmm. Party, drag it back to the George Bush, Bob Dole, Howard Baker, Everett Dirksen Republican Party,
right.
and make it that again?
Right. I think it's the latter. I think it's better to improve upon the party that we have. Otherwise, you've got all these people that will be not lost, but you know, you want to identify with a party. You want to identify with a candidate that you know, that you believe in. You're like, yeah, he said these few things, and I agree with that. So I want to do that. And it's got to be more than a new party that represents, I don't want to say nothing, but it's just it's too big of an unknown.
No.
You know, you really don't know what they would represent. I think it would lower voter turnout. I think people wouldn't show up.
Hmm. Well, that's a good point. I think you look at like European parliamentary democracies, and in a parliamentary system, it's different.
Yeah.
But they're less likely to always be just totally two-party oriented.
Right.
There's one or two big parties,
uh-huh.
and then there are smaller
multiple
parties
minor.
That have enough poll that they have proportional representation, or they have districts where they do well.
Yeah.
And you have to form coalition
yeah.
governments.
And that's the key.
Yeah.
We don't do that very well.
No. We have no history of doing that.
No. Of the coalition.
And since the Whigs went away and were sort of mm-hmm. replaced by the Republicans before mm-hmm. the Civil War, we don't really have a history of political parties dying and being born.
Right, right. That was and that was quite a while ago.
No. So, on the other hand of that, you know, I'm kind of just playing devil's advocate with you here, but on the other hand of that, it's kind of like part of the problem with having two parties and only two parties and the same two parties
right.
is that we become so tribal, is the word we're all using these days, and you become a Republican or a Democrat, and you because your father was,
yeah.
or because you went to a meeting in college, and you just okay, these are my guys,
right?
And it becomes less and less about principle, and it becomes less and less about policy, and it becomes more and more about I want my team to win.
Party ID, yeah.
You know, it's like rooting for the Utes versus the Cougars. You know, it doesn't really make any big difference in your life who wins, but you really care about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's how we get support for somebody like Roy Moore, is
right.
when you're putting party before principle.
Right.
And so lately we've seen Jeff Flake talk about this a lot, and then Mitt Romney talk about this a lot, that some things are just not worth putting party before country.
Wow. And
you know,
yeah, Jeff Flake,
morality.
Right. Jeff Flake, Republican senator from Arizona, who isn't running again, who has had his fill of all of this,
yeah.
Sent $100 to Roy Moore's Democratic opponent
right.
and took a picture of it and tweeted it. And, you know, and I think either he said or people who were retweeting it said, you know, country before party.
Yeah, and he wrote it on the subject line.
And he said, you know, it's $100. I don't know if there's a campaign limit or if it was just meant to be
right.
symbolic.
Right.
But, and so, you know, it's like they're really within the Republican Party fighting for what the future of it's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the situation the other day where Steve Bannon, campaigning for Roy Moore, answered back to Mitt Romney mm-hmm. by questioning his patriotism, questioning his intelligence, and really pretty straightforwardly saying, you know, Mormons who go on missions are morally inferior to soldiers who went to Vietnam.
Right.
You know, here he is, he got President Bonespur elected, and now he's questioning other people because they didn't go to Vietnam.
And he questioned his sons. You have five sons, and none of them have served.
None of them served. Well, I mean, you know, they're of a generation where a lot of people didn't serve. They were way post-Vietnam.
Right.
But, and then, so Mike Lee, Gary Herbert, Orrin Hatch jump up and say, oh, I see, now he's attacking this other tribe
religion.
That we're in.
Right.
Religion, which, you know, is supposed to kind of be beyond the pale in American politics.
Yeah.
You can have some code words and you can have some dog whistles, but to overtly say, he's in that religion, so he's bad, so you don't want to vote for him or you don't want to listen to him when he tells you who to vote for.
Don't talk to us down here in Alabama.
Right. You know. Well, I mean, and that's, I mean, our Robert Gerke has written about it and other people have written about it. This is, I mean, Bannon may be ugly, but he's no fool. He knows Alabama, very heavily evangelical Christian, especially among voters, especially among Republican voters.
Right.
And they have sort of always mistrusted Mormons as some kind of funny cult.
He was reaching out to the evangelicals, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's like 32% evangelical Christian and less than 1% Mormon in Alabama.
Right.
So it's a very cynical way to play it. And Gary Herbert tweeted something about, we don't want this kind of politics in our state. You stay away from here.
Right. And intrude.
Don't intrude. And then I answered that tweet by saying, well said. It would have been better if you hadn't spent Monday partying with the guy that Steve Bannon got elected president, but still well said. So that's kind of the awkward position Utah Republicans are in. They spend Monday celebrating Donald Trump coming to the state and cutting way back on those two national monuments.
Right.
They spend Tuesday attacking or defending themselves from that president's Svengali, who got him elected in the first place. They've now sort of parted ways.
Uh-huh.
At least he doesn't work in the White House anymore. But, you know, can you still say what Bannon says should be attributed to Trump should be attributed to the whole Republican Party?
Mm-hmm.
Mitt and Gary and Mike are saying, no, you can't.
Right. Well, the ironic thing is that Bannon, you know, just 2 months ago, was trying to find a replacement for Senator Hatch, somebody to run against Senator Hatch. And now all of a sudden he's back behind Senator Hatch and, you know, we don't want Romney. You know, Romney's not the guy.
Yeah.
It's too fickle. He's just too fickle.
And my enemy's enemy is my friend.
Right.
At least this.
Right.
At least
when
today.
You drop your principles, you stand for nothing.
Right. Exactly. And that's what we're going to watch the Republican. I mean, all just in my lifetime, like both political parties have been dead like twice at least and come back.
Mm-hmm.
After Nixon beat McGovern by so much, the Democrats were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Clinton came back and kind of moderated it. And then the Republicans came back and won Congress while Clinton was in. So he was the amazing shrinking president. And then he survived the impeachment and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, you know, parties have been declared dead before
and
come back. Individual politicians have been declared dead before and come back. I'm sure Mitt would not appreciate the analogy, but Richard Nixon ran for president and lost, ran for governor of California and lost.
Uh-huh.
Came back and got elected president.
Uh-huh. I think he would like that analogy.
I think, well, I mean, you don't necessarily want to be compared to Richard Nixon, but the idea...
He ends up president.
The idea that you're not dead when you've lost an election. I think in American politics in the last 25, 30 years, you lose an election, you're dead. I mean, Adlai Stevenson ran against Eisenhower twice. You know, we had Harrison Cleveland.
Uh-huh.
They came back.
Right.
Teddy Roosevelt ran for president after he left the office. So, you know, there was kind of, and in British politics, you can be prime minister, you can be voted out, you can be voted back in again.
Mm-hmm.
In American politics, at least in the last generation or so, it's like one strike and you're out.
Yeah.
Except maybe like you run for president, you don't get the nomination, you can run again and get the nomination, you lose, you're gone.
Right.
Mitt might be very well looking at, not only am I going to run for Orrin Hatch's seat,
yeah.
which he told me 6 months ago I could have, and now he tells me I can't have it.
Right.
That's the stepping stone to the presidency, which I might not have had available to me before, except Donald Trump is now so unpopular that I sure look like
people will take anything.
People will take anything. Well, I mean, it's like when I always say, if somebody in a position, public, high visibility position, that's not elected but hired, and they leave, they either get fired or forced out or resign unexpectedly, and they don't tell you why, you know, because it's personnel, and they don't tell you why. Read the ad they place to hire the new guy or the new gal. Whatever they stress,
that was what was wrong.
That was what was wrong with the last guy. Professional demeanor, able to plan, good with budgets, works well with others. Whatever they stress, that was the flaw in the last person. You know, morally upstanding, principled, you know, doesn't know any Russians. You know, that could make Mitt look really good.
Yeah. I don't think UUP should get too excited just yet.
Probably not. But it would be, I mean, it would, talk about the national press parachuting into Utah again. Yeah. That would be a big.
It would be a good story.
That would be a good story. So there's a whole lot of agreeing today, except except maybe some of us are really trying to save the Republican Party, and some of us might decide that
it would be neat to see what happens.
It's usefulness. Let's do something else.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, again, this is not policy. This is not principle. This is just, it would be fun if Mitt Romney ran on this third party ticket. He would really upset things, and he would probably win.
Sure.
So I think we'll wrap this up for now. Michelle, you have a column that's doing very well online.
Yep, about the same events, Hatch and Romney coming in and doing what Utah needs.
And I'll be writing something similar, I think, for the weekend about Orrin Hatch and talking about how the reason we don't have any money for good things is because we have millions of people who are just dependent on the government, which is what got Mitt Romney in so much trouble. So it might be interesting to see how he walks that back. SLTrib.com/opinion for Michelle's work, for mine, for a lot of very interesting op-eds on the Republican Party, on the changes in the national monuments, Sunday edition of the paper, Friday edition of the paper for the stuff about the Utah United Party recruiting Mitt. And we will come back next week and agree and disagree about some of the things.